Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. This month of August is filled with a large number of very powerful feast days. I think of only four right off my top of my head: the Feast of the Transfiguration, the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother, the Feast of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and the Passion of St. John the Baptist. And I thought that today and over the few coming weeks, I would concentrate on those feast days because each of them tell us something about our own Christian life, what we are called to do, how we are to live. And I began with the Feast of the Transfiguration, which we celebrate today. The Transfiguration is a very important aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in fact, when Pope St. John Paul II added the mysteries of light to the praying of the rosary, he inserted the Feast of the Transfiguration into those mysteries. And for a very important reason. The event on Mount Tabor, in which our Lord was transfigured before the eyes of three of his chosen disciples, occurred halfway through the ministry of our Lord. There had been a number of disciples who had been drawn to his teaching, who were amazed at his cures of the sick, of the very powerful of his presentation. And at this point, our Lord, who had chosen 12 out of those who had followed him, wanted to bring them more deeply into the mystery of his ministry. They had been with the Lord, as I said, for a while. They had heard him teach. But now our Lord wanted them to understand the thrust of his ministry, where it was going, what was the purpose of it. And this revelation of the deeper meaning of the Lord's ministry was, in fact, surrounding the Passion, the suffering and death and the resurrection of our Lord. This was going to be a hard message for his disciples. In fact, on one occasion when our Lord spoke of his coming Passion, Peter protested that this should not happen to the Lord, the very Son of God, whom Peter had just acclaimed as God's anointed. So in order to prepare for the reception of that teaching of the suffering and death of our Lord brought those three chosen apostles up to the mount and was transfigured. Now, of course, this transfiguration represented the revelation of the divine glory of Jesus shining through his humanity. It was an extraordinary event. In fact, it dumbfounded the disciples. They didn't know quite what to say or what was happening. And after that event of the transfiguration, after the disciples saw the revelation of the divine glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord again talked to them about the suffering, death, and resurrection. And they remained baffled. But this transfiguration was what biblical scholars call a prolepsis, that is, a coming attraction. It is, in a sense, a revelation of what was to occur in the resurrection. And it was only in experiencing the suffering and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the disciples came to understand exactly what the ministry of Jesus Christ was about here on earth. And they then thought back to that moment of transfiguration and realized that that was not only a revelation of the divine glory of Jesus, but it was, in a very powerful sense, their future as well. I think of something that that Mary, Queen of Scots, just before she was to be executed, said, that in the end is my beginning. And I think she was suggesting that at that moment that she was facing death, it was the beginning of a future life stretching into heaven. And in fact, it is important that we know the end of our lives so that we can begin to live a life that is worthy of the glory to which we are going to be called. This touches upon the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus, God in human flesh. And what it teaches is that the human reality can bear divine presence. And therefore, in the Transfiguration, as the disciples unknowingly gazed on their own future, there was this transformation of humanity, our humanity, our human reality being drawn up into the Godhead through the humanity of Jesus Christ. The early theologians of the Christian Church refer to this as theopoiesis, that is, being made like God, being made divine. And it is an indication that the call of the Christian faithful is to enter into the life of the Holy Trinity, to stand there, in a sense, with Christ himself, and to be so immersed in that life as to be utterly transformed. St. Paul talked about being sons and daughters in the Son, filii and filio, as it was in Latin. That is, in Jesus Christ, we too are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And this understanding, this goal, this end of Christian life allows us to understand the whole of our Christian life here on earth, what we are to do, what we are to expect, how we are to live in faith and hope and love. And we embrace that goal as the most important aspect of our lives. It touches upon all the choices that we make, all of the relationships that we establish. And therefore, to understand our end is to be able to direct our lives and to determine them according to the pattern of Jesus Christ. For the perfect humanity of Jesus is to become our humanity. And we see this even now in the transfiguration of the saints. In fact, wasn't this the beginning of the use of the halo in the presentations of the saints? That glory shining about them, that glory of God that has surrounded them. In fact, this is also why the bodies of the saints were so deeply honored, because they had been infused with that glory of God. And to think of the Transfiguration and to think of the fact that it occurred right in the midst of our Lord's ministry, and as he was beginning to draw his disciples into the mystery of his suffering and death, as well as to the power of the resurrection, I remember something that Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said in a presentation. He said that we must remember that Easter, without Good Friday, is simply another form of paganism. That, in fact, the Easter celebration, that joy, that victory, came at a cost. And, in fact, the glory that shines so brilliantly on Easter and the resurrection shines so brilliantly at the Transfiguration is a glory that was also at the cross. For after all, it is the glory not only of victory, but the glory of extraordinary love and mercy and self-giving.